Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. In this episode, we're going to take you inside the making of TT's 2024 Top 100 Logistics Companies list, which we just published on April 15th. This annual ranking provides an updated look at North America's largest 3PLs based on annual revenue. The list includes the industry's top freight brokers, freight forwarders, warehousing and fulfillment providers, and dedicated contract carriers. We compiled this top 100 list by gathering revenue data and other information for this project from an annual survey that TT sends to these companies, along with additional research and by working closely with 3PL research and consulting firm Armstrong & Associates. To review some of our top takeaways from this year's Top 100 Logistics Companies report, I'm going to bring in my colleague Mike Senatori, Features Coordinator at Transport Topics. Thank you, Mike, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Seth. I'm happy to join.
So just to begin this conversation, I think it's helpful to bring our listeners up to speed and really kind of show them the process of assembling the Top 100 and the related sector lists. So let's just start there. Mike, briefly walk us through the process of gathering this information and compiling it and putting it all together in a Top 100 list and the other pieces of this publication.
Sure. So the primary method of data collection that we use is the survey responses, as you mentioned. We send out the survey earlier in the year, typically around January, and the survey, it collects financial information, company employees, areas of service, and other sector-specific information about these companies. And these survey responses, they help us to not only gather the data that we use for the lists, but it really helps us to get a full picture of each firm's third-party logistics operations and what they do. For public companies that are on the list, a lot of this information also is publicly available, and so we conduct some research of our own and really dive into these companies, annual reports, things like that, to collect the data that we use. And we also work closely with our partners on this project, Armstrong & Associates, who really help us to fill in gaps for a lot of companies that oftentimes don't respond to surveys. And so we lean on them for things like estimates for gross and net revenues. And a lot of sector-specific data as well is provided to us by Armstrong & Associates.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that come together here. And of the annual publications that we produce, and we produce four of these lists, top 100, top 50 lists, this one's probably the most complex. Yeah. Because of the nature of the list. We are, in some cases, we need to do a lot of parsing because a lot of companies are both for-hire carriers and 3PLs, right? A typical large motor carrier also has a brokerage arm, for example. And there are a lot of companies sort of in that category where not everything they do is 3PL related, but we are interested in ranking the 3PL element of their business. So it's not always as simple as just getting a company's overall revenue. We need to work with them to find out what are you doing that's brokerage, forwarding, warehousing and distribution, even asset-based dedicated carriers. We were looking for the revenue from those operations, but not necessarily from the entire organization in some cases. And that makes it kind of a complex project, but we kind of laid the framework and just explaining how we put it all together. So with that, I think it's time to just go ahead and dive into the rankings. And this year, we happen to have a very big change right at the top of the list. So for the first time on this list, we've included the logistics operations of Amazon on our top 100. And by simply including them on the list, given the size and scope of their 3PL operations, they debut right at number one. Of course, we all know Amazon is the world's largest online retailer, but there's a huge logistics, 3PL, and supply chain management business that backs that up, right? I mean, there's, of course, in addition to Amazon's own retail operations, they're also providing third-party logistics services to businesses that are selling their wares on Amazon.com and even other e-commerce platforms. So these are companies that are using the Amazon platform, not just to sell, but also for fulfillment. And that's where the 3PL services come in. And in this publication and in my column, I outline several of the services that Amazon offers that fall into the 3PL category. And that those include Amazon warehousing and distribution, right? That's bulk storage and inventory management. Fulfillment by Amazon, of course, is the business that handles e-commerce fulfillment for orders placed on Amazon.com. And also the company's multi-channel fulfillment service. That's providing order fulfillment for outside sales channels. And that could include a seller's branded website, other e-commerce marketplaces outside of Amazon, even social media sites, right? We're starting to see the ability to purchase products right within social media now. Expect that to grow in the years ahead. And Amazon is providing 3PL services for a lot of this. In addition, Amazon has their freight division. It has a truckload freight brokerage as part of that. The company also has parcel, LTL, truckload, and intermodal transportation options for inbound shipments to Amazon facilities through its partnered carrier program. And there's also an ocean freight option for international shipments from China through Amazon Global Logistics. So there really is a lot there. Amazon has become more open, I would say, about their logistics operations in recent years. And honestly, this is probably years overdue that we have Amazon on our top 100 logistics companies. But the problem has always been a lack of visibility into how much revenue Amazon was really generating from its 3PL operations as opposed to its main retail business. And we still don't have perfect visibility to that. But if you look at Amazon's annual report, their 10K, buried pretty deep in that document is a figure for third-party seller services. And that's including the commissions and related fulfillment and shipping fees for those third-party sellers that are using Amazon. In 2023, the company reported more than $140 billion in sales for that portion of its business, and that's almost a quarter of Amazon's total revenue. So that's a huge part of their business. Both TT and Armstrong believe that those third-party seller services are predominantly logistics, either logistics or logistics-related. So even if the 3PL portion is less than we suspect, it's still easily enough to make Amazon number one on this list. So unfortunately, still no perfect visibility into Amazon's logistics operations, but more so than we had in the past. And I think it's more than enough to hang our hat on and put them at number one on the list. Bridgestone knows that maximizing your fleet's efficiency matters, which is why they offer Bridgestone Fleet Care, a customizable suite of tools that connect tires, tire solutions, and service, all backed by the power of data to help you manage and maintain the specific needs of your fleet. With Bridgestone Fleet Care, you get the ability to monitor your fleet's real-time performance with revolutionary technology and sustainable innovations. Plus, you gain access to the Bridgestone Commercial Dealer Network, the world's largest commercial tire dealer network with over 2,500 locations nationwide. Because maximizing your fleet's efficiency matters. By having a partner that joins you in the journey, that's what really matters. Join Fleet Care at commercial.bridgestone.com. Very big change to the list. Mike, I want to just throw it back to you. Your thoughts on publishing the list this year with Amazon right at the top?
I mean, as you said, Seth, this is something that we feel has been a long time coming. It's been discussed for this list for quite a while now, but as you said, the issue has long been that we don't really have that visibility into the specifics of Amazon's revenue that they get from these 3PL services. But for this year, we now feel comfortable with the revenue figure that we've been able to gather And we feel comfortable that it paints a fair picture of the real scope of Amazon's logistics arm. Amazon, you know, even just going on Amazon.com, you can see the amount of small businesses and third-party sellers that use the platform. Even just as a customer shopping on the site, you can see. So Amazon is obviously the largest online platform for third-party sellers. And because of that, the company has invested heavily into offering services that help meet the logistics needs of the merchants on its platform. This includes shipping, warehousing, distribution, and other fulfillment services. Amazon has really devoted a lot of resources into providing those services in-house. And having that infrastructure that it's built for its fulfillment by Amazon services for sellers that are using Amazon.com, it's also allowed Amazon to offer oftentimes those same supply chain services through its multi-channel fulfillment arm. And that allows it to meet the logistics needs of merchants that are using other sources, you know, other websites. It extends Amazon's reach beyond its own website, and it's really made it kind of a go-to for e-commerce, no matter where you're selling your products on the internet. And one other thing, like Amazon, obviously it's already giant, but the rate of growth is still pretty eye-popping. I mean, the revenue from Amazon's 3PL services specifically, it grew by over $22 billion in 2023. So clearly this is an aspect of their business that's still growing, and it's probably just going to keep getting bigger.
Yeah, and that growth came at a time when the vast majority of the other companies on this 3PL list saw pretty significant declines in revenue.
Right.
And you know, to your point about the fact that this has been a long time coming, you know, adding Amazon to this list, you know, I remember conversations with Dan Berth, a longtime reporter at Transport Topics. He's since been retired for several years now, but going back five or more years, we used to have multiple conversations there, you know, every year about, you know, what do we need to get Amazon on this list? What do we need to figure out? And, you know, I think that finally the last couple of years with Amazon being a little bit more open about what it's doing in terms of third-party logistics, and the availability of not, you know, some imperfect data, but still some data, we're finally ready to take that step. So mm-hmm. It feels good. I think that makes the list better. It's a better reflection of the 3PL market in its totality than we've had in previous years. So that's a lot on Amazon. That's the big headliner for us this year. But looking at the rest of the list, the other 99 companies on our top 100, what are some other ranking changes or new names that stand out most to you, Mike?
Yeah, so looking specifically first at the top 10 companies, the thing that really jumped out to me is the slide of some of the biggest air and ocean freight forwarders.
Yeah.
Number two on last year's list, Expeditors International of Washington, fell all the way down to number seven this year. They saw a 45% decline in their gross revenue. And similarly, Kuhn and Ogle, their freight forwarding operations dropped from number three last year to number six on this year's list. And it really goes to show the extent of the struggles that freight forwarders faced last year. And on the other end of the spectrum, some warehousing providers in particular made some real strides on this year's list. Particularly the two largest temperature-controlled warehousing firms, Lineage and Americold Logistics. Those two, they saw gross revenue increases of 25% and 17% respectively. Lineage itself moved eight spots up the list to number 15 this year, and Americold jumped up three spots to number 29. And I also want to make note of some of the newcomers on this year's list. To start, I mean, PSA BDP at number 27, a freight forwarding company. They were formed through PSA International's acquisition of BDP International in 2022 and rolling that business into its PSA Cargo Solutions arm. And they've emerged as a major player in the freight forwarding sector. And also at number 42, Flexport joined the list, a tech-heavy freight forwarding and supply chain management company. So some newcomers to the list, you know, even with the overall negative market conditions.
Yeah, that's right. And your point on freight forwarders, well taken. I mean, those companies involved in international freight forwarding really saw just this huge boom in 2021, you know, really in the middle of all the supply chain disruptions and shortages and challenges that shippers, especially international shippers, were dealing with around that time. It was really those freight forwarders that kind of stepped up and solved a lot of those challenges, and the revenue reflected that a lot. But then, unfortunately, it's also really come back down to earth the last couple of years. And we really saw that with the 2023 revenue results. And, you know, companies like, you know, Expeditors that really dropped down the list as a result of that. At this point, before I go much further, I do want to mention that the complete top 100 logistics companies list that we're discussing here, as well as industry sector lists, are available online at ttnews.com. And of course, Transport Topics subscribers receive the print version of this list packaged with the April 15th issue of Transport Topics. If you're not a subscriber, you can sign up at ttn.ws/ttsubscribe or text ttsubscribe to 571-622-0001. Bridgestone knows that maximizing your fleet's efficiency matters, which is why they offer Bridgestone Fleet Care, a customizable suite of tools that connect tires, tire solutions, and service, all backed by the power of data to help you manage and maintain the specific needs of your fleet. With Bridgestone Fleet Care, you get the ability to monitor your fleet's real-time performance with revolutionary technology and sustainable innovations. Plus, you gain access to the Bridgestone Commercial Dealer Network, the world's largest commercial tire dealer network with over 2,500 locations nationwide. Because maximizing your fleet's efficiency matters, but having a partner that joins you in the journey, that's what really matters. Join Fleet Care at commercial.bridgestone.com. So I also want to take some time to discuss overall market conditions for 3PLs last year. That's always part of the project, right? I mean, it's not just a list. It's not just data. We're also providing some context on what are the market conditions, what is the business environment for these companies. It's really a snapshot at the industry. And, you know, to say the least, the last several years have been quite a roller coaster ride for 3PLs. They had a historically great year from revenue growth during that 2021 freight boom that I referenced earlier. You know, it was really driven by the economic recovery from the pandemic. And that was only a few years ago, but it already feels like a distant memory, right? The last couple of years have been a lot tougher, right? Shippers replenished their inventories, truck capacity loosened up, and as a result, freight rates really dropped, starting with the spot market, and then contract rates more recently, which, you know, for the brokers that are in the contract freight business, you know, contract rates had been holding brokers' margins up. But those came down last year as that freight was rebid. And of course, inflation and interest rate hikes have also been headwinds. So it's really been a challenging business environment. And that's continued so far into 2024. There still appears to be excess capacity in the marketplace, even after we've seen, you know, many carriers that jumped into the industry during the boom, you know, have since exited the business as freight rates deteriorated. But still seems to be overcapacity, and that's holding down rates, cutting into brokers' margins. A lot of companies are, in terms of volumes, are moving, you know, maybe the same amount of freight or similar, but they're just not paid as much to do it, given the market conditions. Those factors really put a lot of financial strain on 3PLs, and unfortunately, we really see that very clearly in our data for the top 100. So Mike, when you take a glance at the company's revenue results from 2023 on this list, compared to the prior year, what was the trend?
Yeah. As you said, the trend was very clear and it was very negative. If you look at just the top 25 companies on the list, of those 25, 19 of them dealt with declining revenues in 2023, largely due to those, you know, market conditions that you said, you know, declining freight rates and things of that nature. And when you expand the picture and look at all the top 100, based on the data available to us, about 76 of those top 100 companies saw declines in their revenue. Data compiled by Armstrong & Associates put the entire U.S. logistics market's revenue in 2023 at about $299.5 billion. And that's a significant drop from the $405.5 billion market size that they reported in 2022. That's a decrease of over 25%. That's a massive blow to what was a pretty strong market not that long ago. And as we said earlier, freight forwarders really caught the brunt of these negative market conditions. Ocean shipping rates have been declining since 2022, as you mentioned, falling down back to earth from the post-pandemic boom. Air freight demand similarly has been down about 10% in that same time frame. These international transportation managers, they did see some positive trends in the back half of 2023, but it wasn't enough to recover their full year results from what by all accounts was a very, very poor start to the year. Looking at different segments though, I mean, dedicated contract carriers and warehousing firms, on the other hand, they really didn't face the worst of it. And in a lot of situations, they actually benefited from the market conditions that caused issues for a lot of freight brokers and forwarders. Both dedicated contract carriage and warehousing, both dry and refrigerated, they grew overall in year-over-year market size, and a lot of the major players in those business segments did pretty strong business in 2023. So the pain felt from the market conditions is not necessarily distributed evenly for 2023.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You know, really just to, you know, how you feel depends on you know, where you sit, right? So
right.
The forwarders, yeah, by far saw the biggest drop off. Freight brokers not much better. Real declines in revenue and net revenue as well. Mm-hmm. But not as difficult, not as challenging for the warehousing and distribution segment or for dedicated. You know, so I go a little bit deeper into these challenging market conditions that we're describing in my cover story for the top 100 issue. So that's online as well on ttnews.com. And as we all know, it's been a down market now for really about 2 years. And everyone is out there asking themselves when that freight market will turn. I don't think anybody has a definitive answer to that. A lot of projections, and I will say that there's some optimism that we'll see the beginning of a market rebound at some point this year, sooner or later. Timing, of course, is elusive, but in the meantime, 3PLs have been taking steps to insulate themselves in a tough business environment. So one of the trends that we've seen is that some freight brokers have been diversifying their services, perhaps by adding intermodal or LTL service, for example, to reduce their exposure to the ups and downs of the dry van truckload market, help you know, protect their business a little bit. Another trend that I'll mention very briefly is some real growth and interest in cross-border freight, U.S.-Mexico freight. That's been driven by this nearshoring trend. Some companies that have been relocating manufacturing and production from Asia, China in particular, to Mexico, really as part of an overall way to make their supply chains more resilient, more adaptable to some of the shocks to the system and disruptions that we saw during the immediate aftermath of you know, the COVID shutdowns and the disruptions really caused a lot of pain in supply chains. And this has been one of the takeaways. We've seen that movement toward nearshoring. And I'd say anybody involved in cross-border trade between the U.S. and Mexico could see some growth in the coming years attached to that. Moving right along to another trend I always like to discuss when we look at these top 100 lists, acquisitions. So acquisitions are usually one of the biggest drivers of change on these top 100 lists. That was certainly the case again this year. One change that hasn't happened but has been floated that we're watching very closely is UPS. said earlier this year that they're considering selling their Coyote Logistics freight brokerage business. Coyote Logistics is a top five freight broker, very large business that they acquired years ago. But it would certainly be a big change if that ends up happening, if they end up selling or restructuring Coyote. And nothing further has been announced on that, but clearly we'll be watching that. And no change to our top 100 list. You know, we don't make any changes until those are done deals, until there's a concrete change in the structure of a company. But that's something we'll be watching potentially for next year, or maybe it won't happen after all. We'll be watching. Looking at some other M&A activity, J.B. Hunt acquired the brokerage operations of BNSF Logistics. That was an interesting move. BNSF was a top 100 company a year ago, now part of J.B. Hunt. And then Ryder acquired Cardinal Logistics. That was another top 100 level merger, really focused on dedicated contract carriage, but very interesting to see Ryder already has a very large dedicated fleet, now even bigger with the addition of Cardinal. And in addition to those, expedited carrier Forward Air completed its acquisition of Omni Logistics in January. That merged business is now number 31 on our top 100 list. Also, late last year, dedicated carrier and logistics firm Canada Cartage entered the U.S. market through its acquisition of the GTI Group. That combined company is number 62. Of course, as we talk about acquisitions, there's also a company, a high-profile company, that exited the list this year, and that's Convoy, a digital freight broker that really attracted a lot of attention, and I would say helped to drive the industry's move toward digitization over the past several years through its approach to digitizing freight brokerage. Convoy was number 54 on our list last year, but they cited the freight recession. They talked about challenging financial conditions, and the company closed its doors and laid off most of its staff back in October. Shortly after that, though, Flexport, you mentioned earlier, Mike, digital freight forwarder and logistics technology company, actually acquired Convoy's tech stack and IP and went on to relaunch the Convoy platform in February. So Convoy has been resurrected in a sense, as at least the platform as part of Flexport. So there's a lot there. I'd say there's we always see a lot of M&A in the 3PL space year to year, and maybe even more than usual this past year in 2023. Mike, you know, what acquisitions did you find most interesting this year when you kind of survey that changes to the landscape?
Well, the acquisition of Cardinal Logistics by Ryder that you mentioned, it really made an impact on the dedicated sector, and Ryder was able to, with that acquisition, really solidify its position as one of the top dedicated carriers in the U.S. Cardinal was a major player in dedicated carriage, and it boasted the ninth largest fleet of power units in 2022. And so with this acquisition from Ryder, Ryder was able to add about 2,900 power units to its own already impressive fleet. So that's definitely so that definitely left a big mark, you know, towards the top of the dedicated segment. And also J.B. Hunt's acquisition of BNSF Logistics, really strengthening J.B. Hunt's 3PL offerings. BNSF's brokerage arm ranked number 35 on our list of the top freight brokers in 2022. So an acquisition of that size, it really bolsters J.B. Hunt's brokerage services in particular.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, along with our top 100 list, which is our, you know, kind of the premier product that comes out of this project, we also publish several industry sector lists that I mentioned. And I think those are useful for companies that really want to see, you know, where they stack up with their peers in the industry, their true competitors, because our top 100 list, the overall top 100, is incorporating 3PLs of all types and 3PLs in, really in the broadest sense. But, you know, if you want to look at if you're a freight broker and you want to see where you stack up against your peers, you're probably looking at the our top freight brokerage list. And we have similar lists for warehousing providers, both dry storage and refrigerated. We have lists for air and ocean forwarders as well, and for dedicated contract carriers. So Mike, just taking a look at this year's sector lists, are there any big changes or points of interest that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, so in addition to Amazon's inclusion on the top 100 list, it also placed at the top of our dry storage warehousing list. Amazon boasts a pretty expansive network of 411 warehouses and 255 million square feet of storage space in the U.S. As part of that, you know, as part of that third-party logistics network that we had been talking about earlier. And on the temperature-controlled side, Lineage and Americold, they really continued expanding their lead over the rest of the pack. A few months back, Lineage acquired 8 cold storage facilities from Burris Logistics, and that just further cemented Lineage as the leader in refrigerated warehousing. And there's also some talks of Lineage weighing an IPO in the second quarter of this year. So they are certainly the company to watch in the temperature controlled sector. As we've discussed, freight forwarders largely struggled in 2023. Volumes slid across both the air and ocean freight forwarding lists. But Chinese firm Sinotrans was actually one of the few freight forwarders to see some growth in 2023. Sinotrans moved up on both the air and ocean freight forwarding lists and placed in the top 5 of both. So that's certainly another company to watch that is making strides in the freight forwarding sector.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that overview, Mike. And to your point on Lineage, it's pretty interesting also to see them crack the top 15 now on the overall top 100 list of 3PLs in North America. Becoming a giant in that world of cold storage, along with their competitor, Americold. Been a source of a lot of M&A activity in recent years.
Right.
So before we wrap up, I just want to mention, of course, every time we discuss these lists, we gather lots of information from lots of privately held companies, and we're always encouraging companies to participate. This project is better the more participation we get. We want to provide the most comprehensive, accurate picture of the 3PL landscape possible. And to do that, we really do need buy-in and participation from the industry at large to make it as strong as possible. So we encourage all of you, if you're a 3PL out there who's interested in this, even if you're not a huge company, we do publish data on quite a few mid-sized companies on our sector lists. So you don't have to be one of these huge organizations to earn a spot somewhere on one of these lists. So we hope and encourage you to participate next year. We always issue this an email survey to companies that are in our industry. And if you're not receiving that survey, just reach out to us and we can get you on the list for next year. But Mike, of course, you're right. And you're coordinating this process every year directly. So I'll turn it over to you just to give us some guidance on how companies can get involved and participate in next year's top 100 logistics project if they aren't already doing so.
Yeah, so the best way is to reach out to us directly, as you said. I mean, you can contact our email, tteditor@trucking.org, and express your interest. And once we see that, we'll be able to add your company to our survey distribution list for next year's publication. You know, once that survey goes out in the first quarter of 2025, we'll begin collecting the financial and operating data that helps us build the top 100 in the sector list. So responding to that survey is by far the easiest way to make sure that we can properly consider a company for inclusion as part of the publication.
Yeah. And if your company belongs, we want to give you credit. You know, we want you to have your name out there. And if you are, of the size that qualifies you for one of these lists, we want you on there, and we're doing our best to capture that information, and we'd love to have your help.
Definitely.
And then, Mike, thank you, not just for sharing your insights on this podcast, but of course for bringing the project to life. You know, you're the coordinator who gathers all this information, compiles it, puts it all together in a really, I think, expansive data-packed publication that I think is a really valuable resource to the industry. You know, I presented this publication just recently at TIA, the Transportation Intermediaries Association, their annual conference in Phoenix, and always have conversations about that before and after the presentation. What I hear year after year is that folks who are newer to the industry really, really appreciate it. You know, they really can learn the lay of the land. Who are the big players in the industry? Who are the names that they should understand and recognize and know? And I think those who of us who are have been in the industry longer, I think, find value in seeing how that list changes from year to year and seeing those trends. But thank you for joining the podcast. Thanks for all your work on the project.
Of course. I appreciate you having me on.
So we hope you've enjoyed this in-depth look at Transport Topics 2024 Top 100 Logistics Companies list. As a reminder, you can view the entire Top 100 and sector lists online at ttnews.com. If you're a TT subscriber, you already have a hard copy packaged with the April 15th issue of Transport Topics. And if you're not a subscriber, you can sign up at ttn.ws/ttsubscribe or text ttsubscribe to 571-622-0001. So we'll be back on this podcast later this year with additional episodes of our Inside the List series as we produce the rest of our annual supplements, including our Top 100 For-Hire Carriers list in June. If you've enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If my questions have sparked questions of your own, share them with me and the Road Signs team. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. We'll read them and respond daily. And of course, we'll be back soon with a fresh episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Seth Clevenger. Thank you for listening.
Did you know you can ask Alexa to open Transport Topics? In just 1 minute, you will hear the biggest trucking headlines of that day. Be prepared and start your morning off right with Transport Topics.